Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Stadium. Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast for the week of Monday, the 22nd of January 2018. I'm your host, Russell Hargreaves. Coming up on today's show, boxing world champion Billy Joe Saunders on being a gooner. We look at the letter J in the A to Z of Arsenal, and Adrian Clarke is back for another dose of the chalkboard. But we kick off by looking back at a big Derby Day victory with Crystal Palace with our Arsenal insider.
Let's hear from another Arsenal insider on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Well, the London Evening Standard's James Ollie was covering the Crystal Palace game on Saturday. James joins us on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast now. Hello, mate. How's it going?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. And always nice to have a Monday with a big Arsenal win to look back on. And this was very much needed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, you got the sense right from the start, really, that they were playing with a sort of sense of freedom. And they kind of looked like they were enjoying their football as well, which is not something we've always been able to say of Arsenal recently. I think just the clarity that's sort of been brought by the Sanchez situation kind of coming to a head, I think, has freed everyone up a little bit to sort of, you know everyone knows where they stand with all that and what's going to happen, that they can kind of start to move on. And I thought, okay, Palace were dreadful, really, in that opening half, but Arsenal, you know, cut through them. And you just saw, you know, Ozil enjoying his football again. He was just, you know, those little tricks and flicks on the edge of the box and just some really nice interplay, the sort of football that we've been missing from Arsenal for some time.
Let's just remind ourselves of that four-goal barrage that kicks things off in the opening 25 minutes here at Emirates Stadium.
In comes the corner then. It's towards the far post and he's gone in. Easy header here. It's Nacho Monreal, I think, coming in round the back from 6 yards out, who on his return to the side has put the Gunners in front, and that's just the start that Arsenal wanted. Here is Xhaka. Now it's with Lacazette. Awobi. Lacazette goes again inside the penalty area. Fosu Mensah is there to clear. Only as far as Monreal, left-hand side, can he get the cross in here. Goes to the byline, pulls it back, and it goes in. It's Alex Awobi. Arsenal have got a second, and we haven't even got 10 minutes on the clock here. But it's terrific football. Arsenal have worked the angles once again. In comes the corner from Granit Xhaka. It's towards the back post again. It's flicked in and over the line. Koscielny this time. And Arsenal have a third. And there is, what, just 12 and a half minutes, 13 minutes on the clock here. And Crystal Palace are all over the place. Further left is Granit Xhaka. Can Arsenal find a way through? Ozil looks for the 1-2 with Wilshere. And then a flick from Lacazette. Corner. Arsenal have got another. Brilliant football. Alex Lacazette's goal drought has ended in emphatic fashion. And Palace were just picked apart for the fourth time in the opening quarter of this game. It is Arsenal 4, Crystal Palace 0.
And as much as Palace weren't brilliant, it's got to be said, for those four goals, the way that Arsenal cut through was mightily impressive.
Yeah, it was. And I thought it was also significant that they were doing it with a back four. And that's the best I think they've played in the back four for some time. You know, Nacho Monreal giving some really useful width and obviously scores from that left-back position before he went off injured. And just the sort of overload they had in central areas, you know, with the three and then the three up front was, you know, more than Palace could cope with, really. And just the sort of variety of angles of attack that we, you know, you used to sort of associate with the great Arsenal sides. There was a little bit of that in there on Saturday. So I thought that was quite encouraging for the future.
If you're going to be hypercritical, four up with barely 20 minutes gone, 4-1 the final score. Do you take much from the fact the rest of the game was not quite as incisive?
Well, they probably second half, I think the level sort of drops a little bit. I think that's inevitable to some extent because you know the game's over. I think also as complicit as Palace were at the start of the game, I think you know it was significant that Roy Hodgson didn't make any changes at half time. I think it was, you know, the team talk was probably something very simple like, you know, you got us in this mess, you get us out of it or at least get us some respectability. And I think they certainly, you know, a combination of them up in their level and Arsenal sort of knowing that the job was already done probably contributed to that second half. But, I think it was a little bit sloppy from the point of view that, I mean, from a personal point for Petr Cech, he would have wanted that 200th Premier League clean sheet. That's sort of been dragging on for him a little bit for a while now. He's been stuck on 199 for a few games. So I think there'll be a bit of irritation there. But, you know, overall, it was a much-needed win and it will give some big confidence ahead of the Wednesday game against Chelsea.
Let's highlight a couple of the players up front who had good games, Alexandre Lacazette and Alex Iwobi. A lot been said and written about ins and outs up front in this January window potentially, but those two on the field did the business, didn't they, in this one?
Yeah, and significant really, because those two, you know, you look at the likely incomings. I mean, Henrik Mkhitaryan is done basically. That just needs to be announced sort of formally. And, you know, you look at where he will fit in and you think that Iwobi's, you know, a vulnerable player there for Mkhitaryan to come and play his football regularly. And then again, up front, if Aubameyang happens, and that looks like it's more likely to happen than not at the moment, the two clubs are talking, it's a question of valuations, really. That's the major issue. The player's quite happy to come to England, wants to play for Arsenal. I don't think wages would be prohibitive. So it's just a case of trying to settle on a fee. And then you think, well, you brought in Lacazette in the summer. Obviously, he was a club record signing. It's likely to be a club record fee or something very close to that for Aubameyang. And could the two play together? Possibly. But, you know, Arsenal habitually likes his one central striker, whether that's in the 3-4-2-1 with two behind or in a 4-3-3 with one playing sort of straight through the middle. So it was quite timely for Lacazette. He needed that goal. He's had obviously quite a goal drought. I think it was December 2nd, the last time he scored, I think, against United. So with all the talk of a new big money striker coming in, I think it was important for him to just sort of send a little reminder to Arsenal that he's there and he's ready to do the business.
Let's just hear a little bit then from Alex Iwobi speaking post-match after being a key part of that Gunners 4-1 victory against Crystal Palace.
We started with a lot of intensity. Showed that we are able to play with high tempo, and it was key, especially with the performances we've been having over the past few games. So we wanted to start on a bright note, and I think we did. Having such players like the likes of Mesut Ozil and Nacho were able to give us a lift today, and you can see with their performance and helping out the team today. Consistency is key, and we know that, so we have to prove to the rest of the teams that we're able to do that.
And then, James, with everything that we've just discussed firmly in mind, I wonder how much this result and the players that starred in it could be a springboard, no matter who comes in and out for the rest of this season, with so much still at stake.
Yeah, I mean, they've needed a performance like that for a while. I think I always think with this Arsenal team, they're quite brittle confidence-wise. They're sort of mentally, they tend to take sort of negativity or criticism to heart a little bit. And I think, you know, when they play as well as they did on Saturday, it's just a reminder to them really what collectively what they're capable of. And you know, equally, well, sometimes when they can get on a run, they suddenly, you know, can start churning out results very quickly and become, you know, very effective and climb up the table and obviously try and get back into the top four, which is their key aim before the Europa League starts again. But, I mean, Wednesday's huge, I think, for them, in not so far as the League Cup would be a particular priority for Arsenal or his players. But I think if they can get a result against a big team like Chelsea off the back of Saturday, have a cup final to look forward at the end of next month, then you start to look at it and you think, okay, there's something to build on here. There's a like you say, a sort of springboard to momentum behind the team, and we've seen other sides in the past who've had that cup final in February and they've been able to get a trophy on the board early in the season. It's really helped them kick on for the rest of the season domestically and obviously, as I say, with the Europa League to come. So I think Wednesday's a huge game, and in that context, having that performance on Saturday really sort of sets them up for it.
And then, James, bearing in mind that there is the Europa League to come, where a lot of the potential Arsenal signings we've discussed may not necessarily be Europa League qualified, whether that's a factor or not, I don't know. Will we see, in your view, one or two other Cummings maybe into Emirates Stadium?
Well, it's difficult. I think that some of it depends on whether, I mean, if Giroud goes out as part of the Aubameyang deal, whether that's on loan or permanently, then that obviously sort of slightly frees up the attack areas. I still think they need a defender. Johnny Evans has been the one who they've been linked with for a while. I'm personally, there's not been a lot of chat around a defensive midfielder, but I still think the team really needs one. Granit Xhaka has been sort of been a mixed bag, really, I think, since he's came into the Premier League. And I think he's not, by his own admission, a sort of bona fide holding midfield. And I'd like to see him strengthen that area. But there, to be honest, there isn't a lot of chat around that at the moment. I think if they are going to get another one, it probably will be a centre-back. They've scouted a lot of centre-halves. And Johnny Evans is available. But again, it's a case of meeting that £25 million valuation. And obviously, you've got Manchester City in the mix as well. But Arsenal have got the finances to do it, and they've certainly got the will to sign a defender. Whether they can get it over the line or not, it'd be a huge window, I think. If they, bearing in mind that Sanchez was always likely to go, I think if they can get Mkhitaryan, Aubameyang and Johnny Evans, I think you'd have to say that is a really positive mid-season window and should stand them in good stead.
We will wait and see. The London Evening Standard's James Olley joining us here on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast as ever. Appreciate you making time to talk to us.
Pleasure.
Billy Joe Saunders is boxing's world WBO middleweight champion. He's a massive Arsenal fan as well. We spoke to Billy Joe before our 3-3 draw against Liverpool about his plans for this year and about why he is a Gooner.
You're a proper Arsenal fan. Tell us about your Arsenal story.
You know, ever since I've been age, 4 or 5, always loved playing football. And Arsenal's always stood out for me, the way they play, the one-touch football, the unbeatables, the untouchables. It was like Thierry Henry, Bergkamp, they were the days. But I think as of late we're still good contenders, but we just need to step it up a notch, I reckon. I'd like to see a couple of new signings in January.
As an athlete, what do you think of these guys as athletes? Is there a mutual respect about performance and high end performance?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, look, at any sport you've got high end athletes and, you know, middle of the road athletes. You know, you've got your Premier League, League One, but, you know, these boys obviously put the hard work in. But, you know, the beauty of this is if you're tired, you can pass to your teammate. The problem is with my game, if I'm tired, I've got to take a beating. So, listen, I think that boxing training is very, very good for footballers because it gives you that fitness that, you know, a lot of teams wouldn't have.
All right, swap sports again then. You jump on the pitch. Where are you playing? What are you doing and how good are you?
Do you know what? I play a lot of football. I like playing midfield. So, get involved in a little bit of defence as well, a little bit of rough and tumble. But there's no better feeling than scoring a couple of goals. I could be the new Ronaldo, to be honest with you, on that pitch. You know, I think Arsenal want to sign me. I'll get my manager to sit down and have a chat with the COAs, see what we go.
All right. You're in the fight game, though. What would it mean to you to fight in a place like this?
Peter, it would be very, very good. You know, it'd be my dream to fight and defend my title, especially against the likes of another big Arsenal fan or something like that. Or maybe a Spurs fan. We'll get it on then. But no, I'm looking forward to the game tonight. I think it's going to be a very, very good game. I fancy us just to edge it. I think there's going to be more than 3 goals in it, though, maybe 4.
What's the year got in store for you? What's 2018 got in store? I've heard some big rumblings, some big things could be happening for you.
Most definitely. I mean, I'm looking at the unifications now. I want Triple G, Golovkin, or Canelo Alvarez. That's the fights I'm looking at. I'm looking at unifying and becoming the best on the planet.
Are you going to have an Arsenal crest with you there or anything when you're doing that kind of stuff?
Most definitely. Listen, I would love a unification at here. Imagine walking out here, you know, fighting for all of the belts against someone like Golovkin or someone like that. It'd be absolutely brilliant.
Thank you very much.
The A. Machado! To Z.
Or Charlie George, you can hit him. Oh, a great goal! Bergkamp has found Pires. Pires towards Henry.
J is for Juventus. We've played the Italian giants on six occasions, with the most recent being in the quarterfinals of the 2006 Champions League.
That's a good tackle by Pires on Vieira. Picked his pocket. Henri, plenty of movement ahead of him. Cesc Fabregas! Yes! Breakthrough! And it's the young pretender, Cesc Fabregas, who gives Arsenal the lead. That's a lovely ball. There's a chance here for Fabregas. And now for Thierry Henry. Arsenal 2, Juventus 0. And the two men who've made all the pre-match headlines, young Cesc Fabregas and the skipper Thierry Henry, have got the goals. And Fabio Capello and Juventus have got a big, big problem. Arsenal are heading for the semi-finals for the first time, maybe.
Jay is also for our goalkeeper on the evening of that win, Jens Lehmann. Jens in goal for every one of our games in the Invincible campaign. And also go down in history, though, for this.
It was ridiculous to give such a penalty in such a big game.
Quand j'ai vu...
When I saw that the penalty had been given, I prayed and I said, please God, let him save it.
He took so long to take the penalty, actually, that I didn't really know what to do. So I jumped forward, backwards, sidewise, and finally, he's taking it.
Riquelme.
I don't know whether I'm a legend. I don't know how people perceive me, but playing such a team when you have success, and then after such a special moment, you come in the dressing room and everybody's cheering and celebrating, and that's what it's really about, a team.
Finally, Jay's for another legend between the sticks, Pat Jennings. Pat made the move across North London in 1977, winning over the fans immediately and establishing himself as one of the greatest goalkeepers of all time. Here's Pat talking about some of the stranger aspects of being in goal in the 1970s and 80s.
Over the years, I mean, as a goalkeeper, you get hit with everything, like from door handles, the snooker balls, the bottles, darts even. So, I mean, the snowballs, it was just a distraction on the day, but at least it didn't hurt all that much.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Chalkboard with Adrian Clark.
Well, joining me at the Chalkboard, I'm delighted to say, is none other than Adrian Clark. Clark, you're looking quite relaxed, quite casual today.
I'm chilled out. I'm just leaning back, just waiting for your interrogation. Looking forward to it.
Happy days, all on the back, of course, of a nice win, which is absolutely brilliant, and no doubt your relaxed mood. Question at the Chalkboard, what is the best start to a game you've ever seen a team make?
Well, I reckon I was in the commentary box against Crystal Palace. That must be the best start I've ever commentated on. It was absolutely outstanding. The quality of the football was superb. The fourth goal in particular was a peach. Okay, which have been the best? The one that springs to mind at Anfield, I was behind the goal in the Arsenal away end when Liverpool absolutely pummeled Arsenal three or four seasons ago now. 4-0 up at half time. That was painful, let me tell you. But the way they played was pretty admirable. But the one that really sticks out above that, it's got to be Brazil v Germany. Do you remember the 7-1 game where Germany absolutely destroyed Brazil? It was incredible. And they were 5-0 up after 29 minutes, playing some of the best football I've ever seen at international level. And Brazil produced some of the worst defending I'd ever seen. So, yeah, those are the two standouts.
Nice stuff. OK, well, let's move on to what is a huge midweek game. It's the Carabao Cup semi-final second leg. Arsenal very much in this after a really brave performance in the first leg at 0-0.
Yeah, I was impressed, actually, because Arsene Wenger had called on the team to deliver a better defensive performance than they had done against Chelsea in the league, and they very much did that. I thought the two young boys, Chambers and Holding, stood up and stayed strong. Delivered outstanding performances. Mustafi was good as well. So, yeah, no, as a team, it was disciplined. It was all those things that sometimes we've been critical of this Arsenal side about. And they'll need a little bit of that, even though we're playing at home, because you can't really afford to be too gung-ho in a cup tie. You don't want to be out of the game early on. So I wouldn't expect us to be leaving holes at the back. I certainly hope we won't be doing that either.
So Callum Chambers dropped to the bench for the weekend. Rob Holding wasn't involved, for example. How do you see Arsene Wenger then treating his 11 and his matchday squad for this one?
It's difficult to tell because he will rotate more than most of us probably would. Even in a semi-final, history tells us that. I'd go with the back four that he used at the weekend. I'd go with Koscielny and Mustafi because they did excellently, and Bayer in, and then I suppose you're probably looking at Maitland-Niles at left back or Kolasinac. Be interested to see if it's a back three or a back four. I do think it's slightly risky with a back four. Maybe we could afford to do it against Palace, against Chelsea. Against Chelsea, personally, I would go for back three, and I would use Mustafi and Koscielny for sure, with probably one of Chambers or Holding. Mm. So, yeah, look, it's about attitude. It's not necessarily about personnel, though. It's about attitude and concentration. And all of those guys at various times this season have been outstanding in certain matches, but it's finding consistency has been the issue for them. Hopefully, they can deliver it in this semi-final.
So you think about the Community Shield, two Premier League games, the first leg of this tie, have had four draws between Arsenal and Chelsea so far this season, and some good games, even the 0-0 at the Bridge in the league in September, which I commentated on, was a good one. Hopefully, this will dish up something tasty.
I hope so, yeah. I mean, it's a far cry from the days when Chelsea were Arsenal's bogey team, when Jose Mourinho was in charge. At Stamford Bridge, we'd always get beaten. Even here at Emirates Stadium, Chelsea have a really strong record. So the tide has begun to turn. Of course, we beat them in last season's FA Cup as well. So no, there's no reason to be scared of Chelsea. I think our record against them is very respectable this season, because I still think Chelsea are a second or third best team in the Premier League. So I would make them... I genuinely think this is a 50-50 tie. Even though Arsenal have home advantage, I wouldn't say that Arsenal are favourites to go through. I think this is absolutely level pegging ahead of kickoff. It is who turns up on the day.
And just one specific Chelsea question to you, Clarkie. We've seen Alvaro Morata score some goals and have a few problems and niggles. We know that Michy Batshuayi probably isn't massively trusted. Mm. We've seen reports that Chelsea have gone for Carroll, for Crouch, for Benteke. Up front for an actual striker, it's been a bit of a weird situation at times, hasn't it? But there again, you've got the likes of Hazard in sublime form again to maybe fill that void. I don't know.
Their striker search is bewildering, isn't it? Why they're so intent on getting a giant of any real standard is beyond me, really. They do need another front man, but I don't see why they're obsessed with making that person a physical one. Morata is quality. I still believe that he will score plenty of goals this season and in the campaigns to come. Hazard is excellent, as we know, and he's in good form. Willian as well, if he plays. Now,
wonderful goal at the weekend.
I mean, yeah, Willian is a class act. If I was Chelsea manager, I would actually dispense with the Morata-Hazard combo for this one, and I would go with Morata up top and Hazard and Willian in behind, purely on the basis that those two guys need to play. So, look, if Conte doesn't do that, I think it's potentially good news for the Gunners.
OK, and if you were a relaxed version of Arsene Wenger, judging by your demeanour today, if you were going to be casually addressing your team on the back of a big win at the weekend,
yes,
what would you say to the boys as they trot out?
I would go tactical. I'd say defend deeper than you did last time Chelsea were here at Emirates. And inside the defensive third, do not give Eden Hazard an inch. Going forward, you know what you've got to do.
Pretty much bang on a five-second team talk from the brilliant Adrian Clarke. Thank you very much indeed. And time for the frivolities and the camaraderie to end, because we now go head-to-head in this.
Reign of Arsenal.
Brain of Arsenal is back, and I'm delighted to say that Liam Roberts, the Arsenal Weekly podcast editor, is, as ever, marauding in the studio. Liam, how's it going?
Yes, morning, lads. The book is back.
The quiz book is back.
I've got brain ache before we've even kicked this off. Nervous, edgy today.
Always excuses, Adrian.
I just want this so bad.
You want to wait week three? We need someone to get to week three.
Master of the understatement as well, isn't he? Yeah. Just very cleverly.
Hasn't happened for a while, week three. So, Adrian, your choice this week. You'll be answering questions week two on the Champions League campaign of 05-06.
And what a campaign it was. Yeah, I'm going to hand over the mantle to Russ, actually. I'm going to give my serve away and know what I've got to do to beat him.
Adrian Clarke elects to receive. Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
So week one for you. Remind us what you're answering.
Having little links from my various fails. my latest one is Francis Coquelin, who, of course, had his number taken by Yaya Sanogo, who was my previous epic fail, so we move on.
Okay, so better luck on Francis Coquelin then.
Thank you.
So here come your questions. Question one, can you name the three teams that Francis has been on loan at?
Freiburg, Charlton, Lorient.
Correct. Question two, how many levels has he represented France at?
Pretty sure it's 17, 18, 19, 20 and 21, so I'm going to say five.
Correct.
Oh, very good.
Nice. Question three, who did he make his debut for us against?
In any competition.
Any competition.
Sheffield United.
It's West Brom.
No, it wasn't. Sheffield United.
It's West Brom.
Sheffield United, previous round.
I've got West Brom.
Sheffield United. I want to have this checked.
I demand a check.
6-0
okay,
win.
A check. We'll have a check that I've got West Brom.
Came off the bench, replacing Fran Morita.
Okay.
6-0.
All right.
Russell is correct.
Okay, Russell is correct. Okay, we come straight back then and say Russell is correct.
Thank you.
It took a 3-second adjudication, but Russell is correct.
I just played a tenner to Alaki, so everyone's happy.
Question four. When was Francis born?
He was born on the 13th of May, 1991.
Correct.
Strong. Oh, three, now possibly. I don't know what I've got to
do. 4 out of 4. So, Adrian.
Yeah, look, it's slightly backfired my decision to receive. But, look, I would have...
Four clean winners past your second serves.
I would have had to have beat four anyway. So, come on, let's crack on.
I tried helping. I want a week three. So, week two, Champions League 05-06. Questions start now. Who scored the final Champions League goal at Highbury?
The final Champions League goal at Highbury was scored in the semi-final by Kolo Touré.
Correct.
Nice.
Which player started the most games in the Champions League run?
Oh, that's a tricky one. Oh, goodness me. I would imagine... Started?
Yes.
Robert Pires?
No, it was Kolo Touré again.
Got it.
Double Kolo.
Look at that big smile and massive
face. Double Kolo. Question three, which three players came on in the final for us?
Oh, dear, oh dear, yeah, that's tough. The goalkeeper came on, didn't he? Manuel Almunia. You got me. My heart's not in it anymore. I think...
Get my violin out, mate.
I don't really care. Hleb, did he come on?
No.
No, go on then.
It's Flamini, Reyes and Almunia.
Yeah, whatever.
Question four, just for the... That's what the heck of
all
it.
All points count, Clarky, at the end of season,
yeah,
in the book.
Yeah, end of season. Got to put the... What was significant about our third group stage game that season?
Oh, wow, OK.
It was big.
It's big, big significant. It was a big moment. Was it? Big, yeah, see, look, I've had a nightmare this week. It's going to Sparta Prague, I think.
It was.
Mm-hmm. I would say that Thierry Henry broke Ian Wright's all-time scoring record.
Correct. 2 out of 4.
Perfectly solid. It's exactly what I did last week in week two.
So, oh, well, que sera, sera.
So we're back to week 2 and 1. So what do you want on week 1?
Well, I'm going to go really specific here, and it's a night I will never forget. I dragged my now wife Kate to the pub in our early courting days to watch Liverpool versus Arsenal on TV, and it was 4-4, and Andre Arshavin scored an unbelievable 4-goal salvo. Quiz me on that game.
That whole game. Okay, then. So next week we'll have Francis Coquelin versus Liverpool 4, Arsenal 4.
Thank you very much indeed. Well, money well spent there with Alecky. Excellent. Clarky, when can we see and or hear you again?
Well, I've just recorded the breakdown, so that'll be up for the Crystal Palace game shortly, if it isn't already. Weekend off, obviously, so I'll be back on the Match Day show for the game against Swansea next Tuesday.
The final word this week belongs to Theo Walcott, who joined Everton last week after 12 years with us.
That's a lovely ball through and a chance, and it's the first goal! Walcott has scored his first ever goal for Arsenal! It's Walcott! First goal at the Emirates.
Of doing that. Alonso.
Here's Arshavin.
He's played in. Arshavin. He's done it!
Peter Walcott was just too much.
Theo Walcott is the man in the news again.
Round the keeper and scores! Sensational start for Arsenal!
Already for Theo Walcott, who scores for Arsenal inside the first minute. Well, well, well. Theo Walcott seems to be able to finish from anywhere. Walcott twisting his way through the defence. He's brought down, isn't he? He keeps going, and he's scored a hat-trick. Theo Walcott is unstoppable at the moment. Walcott onside. Theo Walcott has scored for Arsenal.
Oh, that's more like it.
Giroud, Walcott. What a goal that was!
It's a half chance at best.
Good ball in. Walcott is away and he must score. And it's gone in. Robert Green got a foot to it, but what a start from the Gunners. And it's the top scorer, Theo Walcott.
You know, this is such a massive club. This is definitely that stepping stone that's going to build onto an absolutely dominant Arsenal team, I'm pretty sure of that.
Good first touch, Walcott in, and he scores!
Cut out, mid-pass by Walcott! What a goal! Theo Walcott!
Giroud, good head down, Walcott's in! And Arsenal have equalised! Bellerin's onside, it's 2-0! Two goals in as many minutes, and this time, it's Theo Walcott on target!
That's
selfish. Is that a hat-trick? It certainly is. Theo Walcott bags a hat-trick. Now onto Nacho Monreal. They were queuing up, and Theo Walcott's got it. And it's goal number 100 in an Arsenal shirt.
Now Alexis Sponsib is in. Theo Walcott to make it 1-0.
Giroud with it. Walcott scores. Here's Theo Walcott.
Well, that's full time on this week's show. Our thanks to Billy Joe Saunders, James Olley, and of course to Adrian Clark for their contributions today. We'd like to know how we're doing in the podcast, so please leave us a rating and review on iTunes. You can subscribe as well and also find us on Acast these days. Remember too to get your questions into Clarkey for the Chalkboard on Twitter using the hashtag ArsenalWeekly. We're back on Monday, the 29th of January.
The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.